Hi, this is Nat Metcalf. Flyhawk have developed a unique 3D kit designer that's fully customable. So if you're looking for a new kit for your team, visit flyhawk.com or email info@flyhawk.com with your ideas now.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
It is the Netball Show with Flyhawk. Today's guest is a CBE, has achieved 24 seasons at the highest level, respected time at Team Bath, Surrey Storm, Lightning, Magpies into that mix as well, in the Suncorp, and she's just finished her career in the Super League with Leeds Rhinos. Jeeva, hello you. How are things at the moment? It's obviously still a bit fresh in everybody's mind, but how are you now that that decision's been made public?
Yeah, obviously it's a decision that I've kind of known about for a while. It's not one that you sort of take too lightly. So you definitely sort of weigh up everything, but the time is definitely right. And I think if you were to ask me last year whether I was ready to retire, I think there was still to have been this sort of yearning, like, oh, am I ready yet or not? Whereas this year I can finally say that, yeah, I'm very ready to hang up the playing dress and move on to the next chapter, whatever that may be. And I had a beautiful send-off of my last home game with Leeds Rhinos. It was quite emotional, and they did a bit of a tribute before I even ran out to play, so my eyes were watering. I was like, that wasn't great for the first few minutes in the first quarter, but just really humbled by the effort, the support that everyone has shown me so far, and the messages I've received. I'm still going through so many of them, and it's really heartwarming and it's really humbling.
End of last season, did you know that you had another season in you?
I think at the end of last season, I finished up like any season, and I just assumed, okay, I'm into pre-season and away we go. Like, I didn't think that that would be my last. And so I think that's why now the decision I've kind of known for a little while, and I feel very ready with it. So, yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question, but I think, yeah, last year I never thought, oh, should I retire or not? It was more just like, my body feels fine. My body still feels fine now. I think it's just about mentally, emotionally, socially, whether I was ready. And I think last year I still kind of wanted to contribute. I didn't want to just also come to Leeds Rhinos and just play one season. And like, we were looking to try and build on something, and knowing what the girls have obviously been through this year with losing Liana early on and new coaching and new squad members as well, having some consistency for Leeds Rhinos, which we've kind of been seeking up over a few years, was quite important to me. I've said right from the start, I want to come in and try and make a place better off than when I arrived, when I leave eventually. So, so just to do 1 year at Leeds Rhinos in the NSL, it didn't feel right. And also, as we moved into this new era of NSL 2.0, I'm really wanting to be part of that and keep driving the sport forward. And I think sometimes it's nice to be on the inside, pushing from the inside out, rather than just looking on the outside and making these decisions or having that input. So I'm grateful to have that opportunity this year.
I'll tell you this right off the bat. Not only have you just announced the news, but according to Alexa, you're now being replaced by the world's best netballer to Irene van Dijk. So that's not bad.
Oh, there we go. And she was my first cap, my first international cap. That's quite a feat. I'm very honoured by that. Happy to pass on the baton.
Mind you, it's been on the blink the last couple of days, so we'll have to sort that out. I'll have to reboot it. To those of us that follow your game, the news was almost something that was, we knew that was on its way, that was coming, but maybe not a surprise for us, but it was on your terms, wasn't it? And not something that was forced upon you.
And I really consider myself quite fortunate. And I know most athletes, whether it's through netball or other sports, that sometimes they don't get that choice to make their decision. And sometimes they finish after a Com Games or an Olympic Games and you're on your highest high, maybe winning medals or achieving great things, and then retirement comes, or whether it's through injury or other circumstances. But I feel really grateful that I was able to kind of, I guess, wrap up my international career after a World Cup, the one in 2023 in South Africa, sort of wind down netball in terms of moving from SSN to NSL, and just being able to have these last couple of years with the Leeds Rhinos, who've been super supportive in terms of transitioning for me, as I lived in Leeds last year and now I live in France, and that commute is obviously not easy. So being able to kind of work out a schedule that works to me, and you wouldn't be able to do that in SSN, definitely not. So I think just being able to kind of wind things down, I've done it the right way. I feel mentally very ready and prepared, because I know it is really tough, and I'm part of a few boards at the moment, whether it's sort of through Team England or Commonwealth Games, and we're really looking at that alumni and looking at taking care of athletes, particularly particularly post their career and where the support is there, because it can be quite daunting, it can be quite terrifying when you don't know what's next, when you've been living in this bubble of elite sport and then suddenly have to move into kind of, I say, civilian life. And I feel very ready for that. I mean, for me, probably the terrifying thing is income and where that's going to come from. But I've approached my life with go with the flow, and that's exactly what I'll do in the next chapter.
There was obviously that time last season as well where you'd be back and forwards hopping on a plane every other weekend, really. That must have taken its toll.
Yeah, I mean, last season definitely, and this season has probably been worse. They say, like, I should be kind of easing myself out, but I've definitely bitten off more than I can chew this year. And if someone says something's impossible, I like to kind of prove them wrong and prove to myself as well. And for me, this season, sort of travelling has been like 8 hours door to door to get from home to training. And then when you turn up, when you walk into training, you've got to make sure you're a vibe and you're up and about and you're still giving to the team, both sort of mentally and physically. And so, yeah, it has been pretty grueling, pretty tough. The flights and the travel aren't the easiest. It's not really direct, but you know what? I've been able to have the best of both worlds, which I'm super grateful for, that we're able to kind of manage. And I've had that support around me from both my family and my club. And I've been able to kind of finish off this season the way I wanted.
I assume that one of the biggest things you'll notice first is how you're not tied to match days, not tied to that netball calendar. And you'll be able to go on holiday for a change when you want.
Oh, it's going to be lovely. I mean, when I was in the thick of it, I had international calendars and domestic calendars with my club to kind of balance and coordinate. And there was a bit of tug of war between coaches with wanting my time. And somewhere in between that, I had to sort of fit in family time and social time and vacation and downtime. And then obviously retiring from internationally, I had a bit more free time on my hands. And now I'm going to be completely with an open diary and open calendar. I think the trickiest thing now is not saying yes to everything and making sure I pace myself. But I mean, some of the values and the behaviours that I've picked up throughout my sporting career has been very organised, so having very detailed plans. And I think I'll still take those planners into my everyday life, which I think will help keep me organised. But to be able to have a lot more blocks of free time to be able to say yes to things and to be able to go to places and do things, I'm very much looking forward to that. It suits my lifestyle.
I want to touch on your time in Suncorp, part of that Lightning side. Tell me a little bit about what it was like, obviously being announced as captain of the team, almost walking into an empty arena, and then achieving those two back-to-back titles.
Yeah, I mean, it actually goes way back to a conversation that I remember having with Nolene Turer and the way that she approached me and proposed this club that she was putting together is, you know, the movie Moneyball with Brad Pitt. And she was looking at different players and athletes and the attributes that they brought, and not necessarily bringing a team full of champions, but trying to make that champion team in terms of knowing that I have one of the highest deflection rates in the league at the time then. And someone like Carla Pretorius had one of the highest pickup rates. So knowing if you put those two together, we're going to turn over ball. And so she looked at different players and athletes in those positions throughout the court, knowing that a spine is really important. So having that experience in the defensive end, mid-court, attacking end, and really built a team up from around that. So, I mean, when a coach is talking like that, it empowers you, it inspires you, and you're like, okay, I'm intrigued now and I'm on board. And so obviously saying yes to Sunshine Coast Lightning was amazing. I mean, you're also saying yes to the beach and the lifestyle and the sun, which I absolutely love and adore. And I remember walking through the doors the first time at Sunshine Coast University, and we had no team name, we had no branding, there was no signs that this was a netball club at all, but we had people, we had great people. And from there we built, and in the team at the time we had Caitlin Bassett, who was the current Diamonds captain, and Laura Langman, who was obviously a leader within the New Zealand setup. And I just assumed that I'd play my role and be in that leadership role, but not necessarily captain. And having spent a few weeks with the girls, they nominated me, and I think that was probably a great achievement. And to be, I guess, nominated by your peers, I didn't take that lightly, and I really wanted to do best by every athlete and every person and the club as well. And so to lead a team through a season from Captain's Call, Media Day, when we were in our beautiful dresses with no branding or endorsements over, to then finishing up the season with obviously the first premiership of SSN and endorsements, sponsorships, was just amazing. But then to go on and back it up in a second year, it's almost unheard of, especially for a startup club. I mean, these are normally the sort of achievements of a well-established club with well-established combos. But here we were a mix of athletes from all over the place, sort of thrown together, and we achieved some great success there.
there are things as fans we literally don't need to know, but how hard was that last season at Magpies?
Yeah, obviously not easy, especially when you're told sort of halfway through your season that your club is going to be no longer. I mean, a lot of the things you talk about in sport is that sort of mental drive and what you're about and your identity and who you are. And a lot of the time you're playing for that badge on your dress, you're playing for your club. So to know that your club is now going to be basically bunked at the end of the season, is not behind you, is moving in a new direction, becomes really tough. And you have to find that new identity, that new drive, and those new things to kind of link you together. And it probably took a few games for us towards the end before then we finally realized that we're doing this for ourselves, we're doing this for the girls that want to go on and play the next year, next season, and perform. And from that, I think we're able to sort of find that fire in the belly and do it for ourselves. And I remember our last win of the season was against Fever, who were top four, and it was over in Tasmania. And to be able to sort of achieve that, I think when our backs were against the wall and we're down on the odds, was quite an achievement. But yeah, it's been a roller coaster ride at Magpies, again, without the people there, coach, the athletes. We probably wouldn't have been able to get through it or stay together as well as we have done. And it's so nice to see so many of those athletes go on and still continue to perform in SSN for different clubs.
I think it was wonderful as well, you and Jackie on court, and just the bonds over the years, and they can't be forgotten, can they? Just little things like that, the people you meet.
Definitely, and I've always said it's about the people, and obviously receiving beautiful messages on court was lovely, and one of them being from Gabby Sinclair, who's obviously over here playing for Birmingham Panthers. Jackie and I were a defensive partnership, a duo in a circle with Jodie Ann Ward for Magpies, and so it's just so nice, and she had her family in the crowd, and you do become of one, and sort of giving her family and her sister a big hug afterwards as well. It's not just about that athlete connection, you kind of embrace everybody, and it's so nice to have those friendships. And I think that's what's really so special about our sport, that yes, you turn up, you train hard, you go through the highs and lows, but some of these athletes become your dearest friends, and you hold that connection long through. And I think sometimes you can just pick up where you left off, and yes, you can become rivals when the whistle goes, but as soon as that final whistle sounds, you can give each other a biggest hug, and you can sort of reminisce and have those connections. And that's not just with the Magpies, that's through every team I've been part of, and not just the athletes, yeah, too, the coaching staff, the supporters, the franchises. So yeah, there's definitely some amazing connections there, and they become your family.
Not just in Australia, but over here as well. How important has the Netball Players Association been? And obviously just knowing that you've got that extra level of support for you.
Yeah, I obviously did a lot of work with Kath Harbs when I was out in Australia for the AMPA, the Australian Players Association, and particularly on the imports side of things and making sure we're driving that. And so to come back here and see the good work that the MPA is doing, it's amazing. And they're not just sort of going at it in the dark, they're learning from other players associations from different sports and really making sure that they're sort of capitalising and pushing forward the agendas that are important and hot topics at the moment. So whether that's female health, whether that's professionalism of the game, And what that looks like for athletes and the well-being space. And so, yeah, and it's nice to receive the sort of the monthly reports of what's happening behind the scenes, because there are a lot of talk and a lot of action that goes on behind the scenes, and we don't necessarily see all of it, but we receive those benefits later on. So, I mean, I really encourage every athlete part of the NSL, which I know aren't at the moment part of the MPA, but to sign up and join up, because it is for that greater good. And the more we have on there, the stronger voice we have. And that voice is about the players, and it's about actioning things that happen. And it's not just waiting till things potentially go wrong or sidetracked to then get the MPA involved. It's about having that support all the way through for the highs and the lows.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sport and we're on the podcasts rail.